Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, now streaming, only on Paramount Plus.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. Sell order assessment fee not included. A limited number of ETFs are subject to a transaction-based service fee of $100. See full list at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Browns Raiders on Sunday. I've given you a guarantee. JP's given you a guarantee. Jake Murren's given you a guarantee. Everyone whose guarantees matter have given you guarantees on today's show. And to see if he's got a guarantee in him, we're going to welcome on Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, welcome to the show.
What am I guaranteeing?
A Browns win on Sunday.
Oh, well, I know better than to do that.
If you don't feel it in your loins, Daryl, you don't feel it in your loins.
We can't
That's
make
fine.
You feel it, though.
I feel it in my loins, but if you don't feel it in your loins, I can't pressure you to feel it in your loins.
It's gut check time, Daryl.
I'm optimistic, though. I said that with the morning boys.
Way
I am
to really
optimistic.
Go out there.
I am optimistic. All right, fine. I'll guarantee it. There you go. Clean sweep. Everyone's guaranteeing a Browns win.
That's not, you into a guarantee.
That's not how you guarantee, and you know it. Now, let me ask you, like the morning show, did you say he was going to be awful earlier this week, and now you've just come around to he's going to be good because it's Friday?
No. I think we're getting a mixed bag on Sunday. I think there's going to be a couple of cringeworthy plays, and then there's going to be a couple of how on earth did that happen type of plays. Because that's, I think, the type of player that Shadur is at, or is, I should say. So, I'm certainly curious what this whole week of preparation that everyone seems to be all concerned about, see if that pays any dividends. But, let's put it this way. They got a better chance to win with him at quarterback than the other guy.
Daryl, I know it's extremely limited what you guys are able to see during the week.
Extreme limited is being kind.
That's being kind at this point? Okay.
Yes. We basically get to see stretching and some individual like drills, but as far as anything of substance, no, we basically see nothing.
Okay. So yeah, I was going to ask you for like any insight in anything as far as him throwing or anything. You got
there,
none of that.
There's no insight to be had in really what other than us taking attendance to see who's on the field in practice. There's very little insight to be gleaned from what we do see in the 15 minutes that practice is open to us.
All right, well, tell me what it is, at least the vibe around the locker room then. Have you noticed an uptick in, because we all have excitement now for this game. Do you sense that with the team as well?
I think Joel Bitonio said it best. We'll see. That's what he said yesterday, and I wholeheartedly agree. We'll see. And look, who can blame Joel? This is the 23rd or 24th quarterback he's had the block for, right? This is the 13th different starter under Kevin Stefanski, 42nd overall. Browns rookies are 0-12 in their debut starts for the team since 99. Can he, you know, as the 13th rookie to start a game for the franchise since coming back, can he be the guy to break that trend? We'll see. But I feel like that's the overall, I don't say attitude, but mood is, yeah, we'll see. And I think also part of that has to do with not wanting to put too much pressure on him or overhype the situation any more than it already is, because it's Shadur Sanders. It's already getting plenty of attention as it is. And I don't know that you need anyone to build it up any further than that.
Daryl, the best we've seen Dylan Gabriel play has been non-offensive. And that has gotten the
That's
Browns.
That's one way to put it.
But the Browns have gotten close to wins with a non-offensive. Dylan Gabriel is the best version of that. So yeah. Do the Browns need Shador to win the game for them, or they just need Shador to be non-offensive on Sunday?
No, I think they need Shador to go win the game for them. I'll be honest with you, I am really not interested in any type of a conservative check-down game plan. Now, maybe early on, just to kind of get things going a little bit, but I want to see him throw the football down the field. I don't want to see Captain check-down for four quarters on Sunday. Even if they win, and that's the strategy, I'm going to be extremely disappointed because I already watched Dylan Gabriel do that for 6 weeks.
What are the expectations for Jerry Jeudy this weekend?
I have no idea.
It is interesting, isn't it?
Like he was in a mood this week.
He was in a mood this week, and then I think he has an understanding that there's just a lot of other players that Shador already have a connection with as well. It's an interesting spot for Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah, I mean we're kind of getting Denver Jerry Jeudy both on the field now as well as off the field. So I wish I had an answer there for you, Jonathan. I want to be fair to Jerry. But also at the same time, like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's not caught the ball with any level of consistency this year. And I certainly understand the quarterback carousel. And he had to deal with that in Denver. Now he comes to Cleveland and he's having to deal with it here. So I certainly understand a level of frustration there. He was hoping to get away from that and get some stability at that position. But if you were coming to Cleveland looking for quarterback stability, well, you drank the wrong Kool-Aid because this just isn't the franchise for it. Look, this is the fourth, I think I posted on X today, this is the fourth out of the last 5 years the Browns have needed no less than three starting quarterbacks to get through the season. We're just over halfway through this season. So I don't know, maybe they're going to need a fourth. Do we see Bailey Zappe at some point? Does Deshaun Watson have to start at some point? I don't think that there's really much of an appetite to start Deshaun, but I don't know. Maybe circumstances force them into that. Circumstances force them into putting Shador Sanders on the field faster than they wanted to do that. So that's just the way it goes with the Browns. But I honestly have no idea what to expect from Jerry Jeudy. Other than, he does like to throw the ball down the field, so maybe you won't be running all those routes in vain.
What's truly on the line for Shador on Sunday?
Well, I do feel like Dylan Gabriel being back at practice today, even though he's not been cleared and he is officially going to be inactive on Sunday, he's already been ruled out, still in the concussion protocol. I do feel like that they want to go back to Dylan Gabriel if Shador Sanders does not give them a reason to. So I think that that's what's on the line for him, Nick, quite honestly. I don't want to say necessarily it's an audition, but it certainly feels that way because based on what I saw in six games from Dylan Gabriel, I have no interest in watching that guy play football the rest of the year. I just don't. I'm done with it. I don't want to watch it. At least with Shador, I've got the mystery of the unknown. I don't know what to expect, or I think I know what to expect as far as the explosive plus negative explosive plays that he's probably going to bring, and at least there's a little excitement that comes with that. There is absolutely no excitement that comes with Dylan Gabriel playing quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, so I have no interest in it. If the season's going to be sunk and you're not going to be any good, be entertaining, and I think Shador Sanders will at least be entertaining.
I think Shador's the main card. I think Myles Garrett's the undercard. Outside of those two things, what are you watching for in this game?
Well, I think Carson Schwesinger continues to be a player to watch. He's having an outstanding rookie year. In my view right now, he's the runaway favorite for defensive rookie of the year. He's starting to create turnovers, make those impact plays. I think we've had this conversation in the past, JP. Like I feel like to be successful in this division, you have to have strong linebacker play, difference-making play from that linebacker position. And even though that is not a position that is, as Jim Schwartz likes to call it, the engine of the defense, they've developed some nice talent in that room. And, Carson Schwesinger, I was floored yesterday with what Schwartz had to say about Schwesinger picking up the details of the game that Ray Lewis needed 2-3 years to pick up. I thought that was a pretty big compliment from a defensive coordinator that doesn't exactly hand out compliments.
Over under 2.5 sacks for Myles Garrett on Sunday.
Well, I'm going to take the over. Here's the problem for me, that every time I feel like because I watched that game Monday night, and yeah, train wreck, disaster, whatever you want to call the Vegas Raiders, go for it. They're bad. They are not good. Teams are taking knees on them before the two-minute warning to run out the clock. That offensive line is not all that good either, but this is not the first game that I've gone and thinking, oh, Myles Garrett's just going to feast, and then Miles gets shut out. So I'm going to take the over, though, Nick. If I'm going to guarantee a win, that means good things are going to happen. So I'm going to take the over on that. I think he breaks his franchise sack record of 16 that he has set. He's a sack and a half away from doing that. He surpasses that. And I think he positions himself for us to really put eyeballs on him as to whether or not he can break the NFL's all-time single-season sack record before Week 17.
They have almost a minus 100 point differential, the Raiders do. They're really, yeah, really bad. It's gotten so ugly for a team that many people try to talk themselves into some sort of expectations. So would you fire Pete Carroll?
Yeah, well, I mean,
it's year one.
I know, and I think that, again, it comes down to what were your expectations there in Vegas for Pete? Were you expecting to be a playoff contender with that roster? If that is the case, then yeah, you make a coaching change because, you know, this season has completely fallen apart on you. I realize year one for him, this is year six for Kevin Stefanski, but the conversation also kind of feels the same, right? The Browns are in the same boat at 2-8. They have not played well. The point differential is pretty ugly, especially in the second half. The wheels fall off the wagon for the Browns in the second half, notably in the fourth quarter. So, you know, I feel like the conversation for the direction of both of those organizations, Jonathan, is somewhat similar because disappointing years for both teams.
Only thing I would say, just to give a little bit more context to it, because you're asked, like, well, what was the expectation going into the year?
Right.
Over-under in Vegas was 7.5 for this Raiders team. And you don't pay the money and make the trade of Geno Smith unless you have some expectation, yeah, of, you would think, threatening to get to the postseason. So when you fall this flat on your face, understanding right, it's year one, though, I am interested as to what you would do, because it's just a curious move that the Raiders now find themselves in.
Well, and the Raiders are in a similar position to where the Browns were in the early years of the Haslams taking over the team, right? Where they were changing head coaches every 12 to 24 months, and you can't build any type of a program or any type of a culture when you're doing that. Now, granted, the situation absolutely warranted them to do that, and we have seen that with the Raiders. I think they have had four head coaches since they moved to Las Vegas. I don't know how you can develop any type of a program if you're turning it over year in and year out, like we saw early on, again, with the Haslams here in Cleveland. So that might be one. From a fan perspective, it's not really a tangible reason. But I think from an ownership perspective and a management perspective, that might be one reason to entertain a year or two with Pete Carroll, because you have had so much tumultuous turnover at the top of your organization.
It's five if you count interim head coaches in Bisaccia. And he actually...
Oh, people loved him.
Who doesn't love a little Bisaccia? Daryl, we appreciate you guaranteeing. We'll talk to you on Monday, buddy.
You bet, guys. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the football.
You as well. Daryl Ryder there, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Great stuff with him. We do have a little bit of Cavs late-breaking news here in about 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find it.
You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman. New season. Now streaming. Only on Paramount Plus.
Back on Afternoon Drive, Nick and JP with you. In case you missed it, coming up in about 20 minutes. In case you didn't hear Katie Pollack's 2020 there, initially we thought Darius Garland, Jalen Tyson, and Jared Allen will be playing tonight. Well, now Darius and Jalen will be playing, but no Jared Allen. He's got the finger strain. That includes other guys out tonight, Max Strus, obviously. But Luke Travers, Chris Livingston, and Sam Merrill are also out.
Okay, yeah.
How do we feel about this as it relates to cupping?
Well, you're still 14.5-point favorites, I think. I don't think the line even moved at all with Jared Allen in that news.
Mm.
14.5-point favorites against an Indiana team that seems like they're basically just dead in the water. It's amazing what can happen when you just take Halliburton off that team. You lose your first and your third best player on that roster, and it really does just zap a team that was in the finals a few months ago.
Yeah, I still don't understand why Miles Turner went to Milwaukee.
Yeah, that's just kind of sad.
And by the way, I don't really understand what Milwaukee's going for with Miles Turner, like a nice player, by the way, but kind of fit a lot of what Indiana liked to do. I don't know how he fits next to Giannis.
Well, but just think about this from like a Pacers fan perspective. You had the season that started off last year where you were under 500 in basically the start of January, and you left that season what you thought was going to be like, all right, this season stinks, but maybe we're growing, and then just you hit this turbo boost, and you're off to the races, and then game seven, your best player gets injured, and then we just talked about Miles Turner, and you just kind of feel like you're just kind of stuck. You're in this placeholder of a season, and you know there's better things on the horizon, but you're also thinking to yourself that you're just kind of screwed for this year. Like, it just kind of, I don't know, it kind of stinks for a fan base that just felt like they hit the pinnacle last year, and it all happened so fast and so quick.
Because of the Halliburton injury, because of the way the last two, does anybody feel like the last two NBA champions are just kind of meh champions? Like, between 2 years ago's Boston team, who had every considerable break you could have in the playoffs.
They had some breaks, but they were a worthy champion.
How so? They didn't really beat anybody in the playoffs.
I know we're going to go back to that because it's true. We can't rewrite that part of history. They went through what might be one of the easiest Eastern conferences to go through, but they set scoring records that season. They were, and now it might not have been the style of basketball that people liked, but the three-point barrage that they had, not only I think is worthy of having a spot in NBA history, but between Tatum and Brown, they were going to win one eventually. Like, I don't look at that as some sort of fraudulent team. And even the Thunder, I mean, people are wondering, there's a legitimate bet that you can make on, it's either FanDuel or DraftKings, one of them, whether or not the Thunder will win three straight titles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and the odds aren't crazy. Like it might just be that we had the first year of what turns out to be a dynasty. I don't know that I'm seeing it that way necessarily, because I think there are so many good teams, but I don't think we're going to look too like horribly in the like, oh my God, I can't believe those two teams are the ones that won.
Yeah, but I just, maybe it's because I heard people cheapen the Cleveland championship saying, because of Draymond's suspension, you got to put an asterisk next to it. Which was dumb, because that was one of the 73 win team and everything else.
Yeah, well, you can call out Bill Simmons on that. Simmons was just being an adult, being.
But I think it's funny that then Bill's team, his favorite team, is like the weakest champion we've had.
Bill just remembered that. He remembered the whole finals experience just so ass backwards. That was the problem I had with the clip. Like, game five, again, 41-41 by Kyrie and LeBron, you dominated that game, and you won by 15. If Draymond was on the court or Draymond was off the court, that wasn't going to make a lick of difference in that game. Like, I hated that part of rewriting it all. I really did. The Cavs dominated game five. You dominated game six. Like, the thing people don't talk enough about with that series, none of those games until game seven were particularly close.
I just think it's been two straight paper champions. And again, it's not that the teams, because I think you make a good point, between Brown and Tatum, SGA being the MVP, get it. It is the path. I think the path to a title is what makes you a champion, right? Like, I think it's the dumbest thing in the world if you discount the Cavs, because they beat every team in their conference considerably, and then they beat the best team, best regular season team we'd ever seen in history. That, you cannot refute that. It's one game suspension for Draymond or not. You cannot refute that. The last 2 years, I feel like it's really... And by the way, I don't think it's going to be much easier this year. I think with all the guys that are out, if I think it's, 56% of superstars are actually playing right now or have played this part of the season.
Yeah, now you got the Giannis injury. Now you got the Wemby injury.
I think I think if we're talking 56% of the superstars are active and healthy for the NBA playoffs, even if the Cavs win, there's going to be an element of like, well, this is kind of a watered-down era because nobody's playing in the postseason.
I think we got to get comfortable with the idea that at some point with one playoff team, if you make it all the way to the NBA Finals, there's going to be one playoff round where one of the superstars, kind of like what happened to the Cavs last year, where it's like, all right, Darius is injured, but he's trying to play through it. Who else can possibly be injured on this team? You're going to have one, maybe two rounds of postseason where it's like that. So Kaka. It does feel lessened. Kaka. I agree with that.
Don't love it.
Well, now, Kaka, okay.
Speaking of Kaka, Michael Porter Jr.'s appearance on the Ball in the Family podcast has made a lot of headlines for the wrong reasons.
It's a good name for a podcast.
It is good.
We've had a lot of names for podcasts pop up, by the way. We did not discuss the idea that Brian Baldinger's podcast name was, is it the greatest football pod?
The best football pod.
Imagine going on somebody else's pod as Brian Baldinger and being like, now with the best football pod, here's Brian Baldinger. Like, you're almost enticing a fight, are you not? Like, I'm telling you, my pod is better than the pod that I'm going on.
I think if you have an ego about having a podcast or a radio show, you're probably a ridiculous human being. So you're right, because okay. It will happen, because that's all this business is. Like, music radio, honestly, most of those people are salt of the earth. Sports talk, all of us are psychopaths. All of us have wild egos. I think I might be one of the more humbler guys in this business.
And when you say that, it takes it all away, does it not?
It does. Well, I'm very humble. I'm also incredibly good-looking for a fat man. But even I can be an egotistical monster at points. Now, but the Ball in Family. Ball in the Family. We nailed it. When he's not diminishing women's basketball, Michael Porter Jr., now with the Nets, don't know if you remember, he actually, now with a team that doesn't exist or doesn't really matter, talked about tipping and how tipping culture is out of hand.
If you're spending $3,000 on a meal, you shouldn't have to tip $600 to me.
I could get like a $400 meal and I'm only giving a 10 or a 20 on how you was on that night. Like, that's how I rock, for real. Unless I really like, you know, I'm trying to flatter, I leave a little hundo out there or something.
So you leave 20% every time?
Yeah. Standard.
Y'all boys different.
Now, the second guy that popped in there was LiAngelo Ball, who, honestly, you're the least ball. All right, you're the lesser ball. You should start tipping well. Yeah. No, you don't want to be like the guy that didn't do anything in basketball and a cheap a-hole. So just for LiAngelo Ball, you're going to have to be better. I see why your baby mama left you as soon as she announced she was pregnant. Oh. You're a problematic human being.
Well, now, geez, I don't know about that.
Somebody has to break through to him. All right? Somebody's got to tell him the truth.
Your baby mama left you?
As soon as she announced it. Yeah, as soon as they were like, we're going to have a baby. And she's like, I'm not going to be there. She went full Magic Johnson. Well, not full Magic Johnson.
Well, you can't go full Magic Johnson.
It's a partial Magic Johnson.
Although I do think Magic's a good tipper.
Also, anybody that says to me, what an a-hole. Well, you know, to me, I don't. Like, I've never heard something, you know, to me, and then a very sensible take. It's always, I know I'm being a dirtbag, but I'm going to say to me, and then it'll seem like, well, you know, it's just how I grew up. Nah, if you can afford a $3,000 meal.
Yeah.
A $600 tip really is not significant.
Well, you got to call that one, just add it into the price anyway. That is the code. When you go out to eat, that is the cost of doing business. This is, as a former server myself, I get it. I do. Like a $900 meal, you're like, wait, 20%? I still have to tip off of that? But there are rules to this, too. If you have a $3,000 meal and $2,500 of it is wine, then historically 10% is supposed to be off the alcohol sales, and then you can go the rest off the food. That's in fine dining. That's a known thing. That's an accepted thing. But
now, is that just
even
something
within that,
you've created?
No. I worked in fine dining. This is the deal. Like if you have a $3,000 that was my summer jobs as a teenager. I worked in fine dining, and like, so if you have a $3,000 bill,
it's Grammy
but
Pat
it's a,
there.
It's a twi- Mama Pat did not go.
That's not the only thing that was fine when Mama Pat was around.
She would have enjoyed it. She would have enjoyed it very much.
If you were there, she would have enjoyed it quite a bit.
All right, the point is Michael Porter Jr. sucks. Yeah. Like, you're trying to justify even the $400 bill for like a $10, $20 thing. Also, you just kind of suck as a human.
Why do people tell on themselves for being a-holes?
Well, they all like laughed about it and like got in with the idea of like, oh yeah, we all do this pretty crappy thing and not taking care of waitstaff. Like, that's not great, guys.
Yeah, I just, like, I don't know, man. Michael Porter Jr.'s made $160 million to this point in his career. I believe he's got another 100-plus to go, and he'll probably get another contract after this. And I just can't imagine flexing.
For some people, though, money doesn't change how much they tip in any sort of way.
No, and that's so, fair. Like, but I think almost, it's the bragging that irritates me.
It's the bragging that should irritate you out of this. I mean, think about it. Like, no tip in Pippen was a thing, because everyone knew Scottie Pippen didn't tip. Mm-hmm. LeBron...
We used to get stories.
We have all sorts of stories about LeBron being an awful tipper.
Yeah, during the whole Miami year. Remember, we were here for three of the four Miami years, and anytime LeBron was in town, we took calls and somebody's like, I waited on this guy in Fairlawn. Now, since then, I do not remember a single call. Since the title, I've not heard one person talk about LeBron not tipping. But yes, it used to be...
That's because he doesn't pay at all for the meals anymore.
That's true. Everybody won a championship. What are we going to do here? I
like the idea that he exclusively eats at, like, it's like, I know one of the restaurants he goes to when he does come in town, and it's like it's one of his buddy's restaurants, and I'm like, he just only goes to restaurants he knows will just be for free. Imagine giving a check to LeBron James. Couldn't be me.
I will tell you this.
Couldn't be me.
I'll tell you this. I think as a society,
could definitely give a check to Michael Porter Jr.
Now,
though.
Unless there are money issues, like if somebody can barely afford, I mean, I think everybody remembers times where you could barely afford a night out, let alone anything else. But if you can afford, if you're an NBA player, if you know somebody who has the means and they just refuse to tip, I think we have to start unfriending these people and like publicly do it. I think we need shame sessions. Where we just publicly, when you're at the
shame boards.
Yeah, you're out in public.
One of those sandwich boards,
and you're like,
to just
hey,
say, I suck
in
at
here.
Tipping.
And he goes, all right, and he throws like a $5 bill in on like a $1,000. I think you just immediately get up and yell, shame! Shame, non-tipper!
I'm cool with this.
Because I just think at this point, like if you're bragging about not tipping people, again, if there are money issues, I can bend on this a little bit. But if you know somebody's got a fair amount of cash and they just don't tip and then they brag about it, I think those are people that we need to like put on an island and give them their own kingdom of a-holes.
Okay, but here's why it was extra stupid. You don't go on the podcast and say you don't tip. You go on the podcast and say you're a great tipper, because then every person that waits on you in the future is going to be bending over backwards because they think that great tip is coming. Now, because they know that you're an awful tipper, guess who's get the slowest business and the slowest service you'd ever see?
Mm-hmm.
Like Michael Porter Jr., I'm sorry. Yeah, you want your steak? You want it to come any time that is anywhere close to when you ordered it? Maybe don't do this. LiAngelo Ball? Yeah, I know you wanted some extra good service.
Yeah,
there.
The only thing is,
we don't care. I got other people that's going to actually take care of me.
One piece of flawed logic here: if someone would have to recognize who LiAngelo Ball is while waiting on him, before then being like, "You're going to get slow service."
Yeah, that is tough.
Yeah. Now, Michael Porter Jr., you know him enough, especially if you're in the Brooklyn area. 216-474-0092. Let's see. Real Xavier P saying, I think y'all are wrong. A $6,000 meal should include paying the staff.
Well, so that's the next step, is they're just going to put the gratuity on their themselves. So they're just going to be, you know, like a party of six, party of eight, you just get to throw the gratuity on there anyway. They're just going to do that up front with them.
Well, I think his argument is we should be talking why restaurants can charge $6,000 for a mean and not pay a living wage. Why should the customer pay their wages? That's the issue. Well, one, you don't know how much that waiter makes. So
fine dining in, especially in some of the bigger cities, you can make low six figures and make a really good living. And so I get what he's saying. Like they should pay more of an actual like hourly wage and shouldn't be so dependent on tips. That's not really the system that we've set up here.
Also doesn't give you the right to chintz somebody because, well, they should do better. They'll make you whole. No, they really won't. That's not what they're going to do. The person's just not going to get money.
Right.
In case we missed it, in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. Mm. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman. New season. Now streaming. Only on Paramount Plus.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. Sell order assessment fee not included. A limited number of ETFs are subject to a transaction-based service fee of $100. See full list at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.